These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, right back to the phones as promised on an agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Eduardo in Newton on the Celts. Hi, Eduardo.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Fan of the show. I heard a couple guys calling in about not really being likely for Kawhi to get to Boston. I'm thinking, which, by the way, the next person getting a colonoscopy is hopefully Magic Johnson and the Lakers. I think Ainge is going to be the one giving it to them. Here's what I think. Of course, Ainge is quiet today, or at least denying, that they don't need to make any big moves, just role players. I mean, that's chapter one in the art of the deal, right? I mean, you don't let the other people know how badly, you want what they've got. But I think things kind of look good for the Celtics here. If you're Ainge, try to get Kyrie for Kawhi pretty much straight up. Maybe you give a draft pick. We'll see what Ainge is willing to give up in addition to Kyrie. But we get Kyrie out of town for Kawhi, and that's we get rid of the drama of Kyrie and LeBron.
Okay,
right?
So let me stop you here. Thank you for the call, Eduardo. I appreciate it. Are you gaining drama or losing drama, Kyrie for Kawhi?
I think you're gaining it with this guy, who, again, sat it all last season with a strained quad. That's how it's being reported.
There's drama with both.
Yeah.
Because Kyrie Irving was about to do the same thing to Cleveland, and I think he would have. And Kyrie Irving, he ain't all about basketball either now. Cares about his singles and his movie tours and all of this. So Kyrie comes with his own set of issues, diva issues. But I think Kawhi Leonard's worse. I think you're taking on more with that.
The guy shut it down. We never got an explanation as to really why, what was going on there.
I still do it. As I've said to you, if the flight risk is exactly the same, I go Kawhi Leonard over Kyrie Irving. But again,
because he's a better two-way player.
Yeah, I think point guards are replaceable in that league. Guys like Kawhi Leonard, who play both ends of the floor like that, are a little less replaceable. So I think they can go find they won't find a point guard as good as Kyrie, of course not. But someone good enough to complement what you've got on the wing, and so I would do it, but only if they're the same flight risk. If Kawhi's going to go and Kyrie Irving's going to stay, then obviously it's Kyrie Irving.
And on the flip side, Kyrie Irving's injury was a real injury, right? I mean, I think his injury concerns are actual physical problems where it sounds like Kawhi Leonard could have come back. And
yes,
prior to last year, he was not an injury problem, right?
Except I think Kyrie has been playing games with his injury for over a year. You don't trade me, I'm going to get the surgery. I'm actually not going to get the surgery because I'm shooting this movie. Okay, I'm going to not play through it because I played through the movie. Now it's at the end of the year. All right, I'm going to shut it down. Now we're in Game 7 of the East Finals to go to the NBA Finals, and I need to get a nose procedure done because I'm about to go on this movie tour. So I'm going to do it now, but I don't want to sit on the bench with the bandages because that's going to look bad for the movie junket. And so I think Kyrie Irving hasn't gone to where Kawhi Leonard went, but easily could. That's more of a projection. But that's how I feel.
But there is an underlying real injury with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
that's a real concern.
That
sure.
has been there year in and year out, even when he was not, he's gruntled now or
right.
disgruntled. But my point is,
he's less of a faker.
Actually injured. I don't know that Kawhi Leonard is.
Okay, less of a faker. So fine, I'll grant you that. But the fact that Kyrie Irving has a real injury should concern you more than a fake injury, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're never going to get 82 games out of the guy. Like, that's just a given. I think 75 is the high point in his career. So, all right, the knee is going to be an issue. But in terms of the offense that you get out of him, he's a true finisher. And, hit one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history. I'm a Kyrie guy. I would take him over Kawhi Leonard.
Casey in Vermont. Hi, what do you got?
I want to talk about how, the sports in Boston and how you guys are so privileged to have such great sports. Like the Celtics, great team, playoff team every year. The Patriots, great team, playoff team every year. The Red Sox, great team, playoff team every year. The Bruins, yeah, they're all right, but they need to fix Rask. You could have a lot worse. You could be a Bulls fan or a Broncos fan like me and have to wonder who your quarterback's going to be or who your point guard's going to be. I mean, you could be a Brewers fan or a Packers fan like Felger.
It's the best, Casey, this is the best place ever to do what we do. No question.
It's crazy how privileged that town is.
Yes, we are.
It really is.
We are privileged, yeah. Yes.
Believe me, I know. If you're a certain age like I am at 41, you remember when this was Suckville, when we had to live through the Ray Bourque parade when he played for, no, not the Bruins, the Colorado Avalanche, the lowest point in Boston sports history, in my opinion.
But here's what I like about here, is that even though the teams are good, we still criticize them and second-guess them.
That's the way it should be.
And bitch and moan when we feel like bitching and moaning. This isn't just like
pom-pom land.
Ooh. Like, go to Pittsburgh when their teams are good. And listen to the media there. And listen to the fans. It's all, we. Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. So that's what makes this place the best. The teams are good, and they're still held to a standard. And people still criticize and pick, which I think is important. It just makes it more interesting. Anyway, Nate in Gloucester. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, so the whole Kawhi thing and the Spurs and Popovich and all that bad blood had to go back with that injury. When he had it there, they wanted to pull him back a little early, and Popovich and the trainer's like, oh, you know, we want him back, and he's like, oh, I'm not ready. I want to finish rehabbing and come out. And his doctor was trying to tell him he wasn't ready either. And they pulled him back, and he re-aggravated it. And I think that's the problem now, is that he doesn't trust him at all. And
So Nate, you're excusing Kawhi Leonard for the way he behaved last year.
I'm not excusing him, but that would be the reason why. That's why he doesn't trust them, and that's why there's a bad blood over there.
Okay.
And the reason they probably pushed him, too, so Tony Parker tore his quad, had it reattached, and he's in his mid to late 30s, whatever it is, and he came back before Kawhi did. So I can understand that the team and Greg Popovich are like, do you have the strain? It's the same kind of injury. He tore his. He's older than you. He came back. What the hell's going on?
I blame Kawhi Leonard.
So do I.
Even though
I want him,
but, you know, I mean, who am I going to trust in that one? Popovich and that Spurs and that organization of,
like, the Patriots of the NBA,
exactly.
Essentially.
Done most everything right for a couple decades. Or Kawhi Leonard. I'm sorry. I put that on Kawhi Leonard. I still want him. I'm willing to forgive him. I'm willing to think it's a one-off thing. But I'm not siding with Kawhi on that. No way. Here's a Combo in the car. Yes, Combo.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
It's going good. What do you got?
All right, quick question. Who would you rather? Would you rather Avery Bradley at $10 million, or would you rather Marcus Smart at 14?
Good one. Who'd you rather have? Combo, who'd you rather have?
I would rather have Bradley cheaper. I think you're basically getting the same player who is a little bit taller and can shoot way better.
Okay, shoot way better, no question about it.
But
how much are you losing?
Also an injury risk. You lose defensively. Marcus Smart, look, he drives me crazy, and I'm one of the people that's always shouting, no, Marcus, no, anytime he's shooting. But he's part of this team's identity defensively. You saw before the All-Star break when he was out with the hurt hand, what they become when he's out for stretches. I take him at 14 over Bradley at 10.
Me too. But if someone just gets stupid and overpays him, Bradley's a nice fallback. That's not bad. That's not bad, because he's a very good defensive player, and you gain, you know, huge offensively. So I think that'd be a nice sort of fallback plan for them. Jimmy Stewart, Marcus Smart at 14 or Avery Bradley at 10?
Marcus Smart at 14.
Agreed. He's more of your DNA too. Like Avery Bradley, does he change your DNA? When you don't have Marcus Smart, I think you're going to be a different team.
And I like Avery Bradley here, but still, there was always like a lower back thing. There was always something with Avery Bradley. It was all a matter of time before he was going to be out for a stretch with like a little rinky dink injury.
Joe and Peabody on John Tavares. Yes, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike? So on Tavares, he's got a quick stick. Love to have that guy. Where do you think he's going to land? Just curious.
So, they're saying up there that the favorite is the Islanders. So
really?
Yeah. So I'll trust that. If it's not the Islanders, I think you have as good of a shot as anyone.
Right? Why would he want to be here? What? Like Captain Obvious stated, we're the best sports town. We're pretty privileged over here, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think it'd be a good sort of middle ground spot for him where he can be the man on a good team on the come where people care and it matters, but it's not the, you know, insufferable fishbowl that Toronto is, you know, for those hockey players. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just trust me.
Well, hockey matters a little too much up there.
Oh, my God.
And especially in that town.
Picture the way the analogy everyone uses, and it's a good one, is the way we used to be here with the Red Sox. The Fellowship of the Miserable and how you just cared, you know, disproportionately about that team and were really critical of the team. And it was a tough, really tough place to play because that's what Toronto is for hockey players, especially guys from there. He's from Toronto. So if he wants to avoid that but still go to a place that's good, contending, and matters, this is a good place. So, but again, you'll know Saturday. If he's going back to the Islanders, he'll let them know Saturday. And that's when it all goes down. I keep saying it. We're all doing the show Monday. If we show up Monday and he's still on the board, you got a real shot, and that thing gets real. We continue with your calls on an agenda-free Friday. Everything on the board. One open line if you want to grab it at 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Well, because if I feel like it'll help our team, we explore every trade of players of certain magnitude, or you know, superstar, first ballot Hall of Fame type of players. We're going to take a look and kick the tires and see if there's something there. But that's all.
If you were to,
I think those things are unlikely.
That's Danny Ainge today saying big moves are unlikely. Oh, posh, Danny. Why handicap it? Just leave it open. Let us play around with it a little bit.
You hate that. He's a take killer.
Yeah, it's a take killer.
He that's likes right. lying in the weeds.
You know what? I'll tell you.
Like, and then pouncing.
That's what he's doing. It's the lying season. So him saying that it's unlikely means maybe it's likely.
It's more than likely.
Dakota, what do you got for us?
So there's only really one way I'd want to have Kawhi Leonard on this team, because if you do get him, I think it's a 50-50 prop, because if the only other team that he would end up going to is the Lakers, and the Lakers just are in turmoil, or it's something they do something this year and they can't get him, then you have a chance on keeping him. But the one way I see, and this would where Danny Ainge would pull out his magic, if the Celtics knew that you were going to lose Marcus Smart and somebody offers him a contract, let's say for $16 million, and the Celtics like, well, there's no way we're going to pay that. We're going to lose it. Now I'm going to San Antonio. I'm saying, hey, we're going to re-sign Marcus Smart for that $16 million, throw in maybe the Marcus Morris and that Sacramento pick or the Memphis pick or both, and then trade for Kawhi Leonard, because if somebody offers Marcus Smart a contract you don't want to sign, you're going to not have Marcus Smart anyways, so you're basically getting Kawhi Leonard for a free year that you wouldn't have Marcus Smart, and you're not going to lose anything defensively.
I like it. I would do that. Why would Popovich do that?
Well, Popovich, if he doesn't want to send them to the West, and the Celtics have the best offer to pick up Marcus Smart in their backcourt, and Marcus Morris, who they need because they desperately need somebody at the four, because I think they lost Rudy Gay as well, and they pick up a Sacramento pick and the Memphis pick, or maybe one of the two or whatever, why wouldn't San Antonio do it?
Well, okay, because if the Lakers are, and if he doesn't want to send him to the Lakers, he didn't want to send him to the Lakers, but the Lakers have Ingram on the board, or Kuzma, those are the rumored offers.
You don't know that, though, right?
No. Nope.
That could be just out there in Twitter sphere, right? We don't know what the real offers are.
Dakota. Zach Lowe speculated. I did find that it actually existed. Speculated that Ingram and Kuzma could be on the table. When Zach Lowe says something, I believe it.
So, but look, Dakota, so maybe Popovich doesn't want to send him to the Lakers or send him west. So that's your opening. I mean, but don't tell me you beat that offer.
And how good would women? If you offered Marcus Smart and they're locked up, so they have a guy for the next 4 or 5 years, and you give them the Sacramento pick, right? And Marcus Morris is thrown in the match for the salaries, because I think Smart's going to probably get $16 million offer. You're all set. Like, if you're San Antonio, how bad
you're
are you
all
gonna
set?
Get with that?
You've got a backup point guard and a scratch ticket.
Kuzma and Ingram are better.
That's a better. Come on, would you stop with that, Dakota? I like Marcus Smart too, but I don't like him if he's my starting point guard. That's not what he is. He's a great role piece off your bench, or you know, in the middle of your payroll, like that sort of guy. He's not like no. So
it's not enough.
If the Lakers are offering Ingram and Kuzma, and Popovich is saying no to that, then he needs to have his head examined. Then he's being too prideful, Murray. He's being too. But you are actually in favor of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I like the. You know, I love light move in sports. I like what's going on with Brady and Belichick and that kind of pettiness. I think he's right to be that spiteful. And if Greg Popovich feels wronged by Kawhi Leonard, and I think he's right to, man, screw you. I'm not going to help you out. Fine, sit out the whole year. I'm not getting anything in return.
So, to me, that interplay is fascinating. How far is Magic willing to go? How far is Popovich willing to spite Kawhi Leonard, you know, to the detriment of his team? Kuzma and Ingram is a great offer for a player you're going to lose in a year for nothing. That's a great offer. And Magic is almost borderline stupid to do it. But then again, if it gets them LeBron James this year and they make a run this year, how stupid is it? So I think there's that's a fascinating little triangle there. Jim in Chelmsford has a thought on
Hanley. We got blew out.
Thank you, Irving. Hanley Ramirez thought. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Mike, hey, you probably already thought about this, but I haven't heard anybody mention this. I'm just going to spit this out there and hang up. But I think that Hanley may have been financing this guy. It wouldn't be the first time in professional sports that a guy has made it big and then financed one of his friend's drug operations, you know? I'm just going to hang up and let you...
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there's... I would doubt that, Jim. I mean, and I know those were the rumors, but that's just incredibly hard to believe that you would make $21 million a year and still feel the need to be a financier of a drug...
I mean, it's happened before in sports. Sam Hurd, the wide receiver with the Chicago Bears.
Okay, how much was he making? And I don't... You know, you say he was $1 or $2 million a year. Or you mentioned Jamal Murray, Jamal Lewis, the running back
With the Ravens,
right?
Travis Henry was, he made some money, and
he didn't make $21 million a year. This is Hanley makes 20x what those guys,
right?
Make.
No, it's real FU money. I get that,
and he's been in the league forever. It's not like he just came off the streets. Right? And the caller last night was trying to say, well, this is where Hanley's from. He can't escape your world. He's been in Major League Baseball for 20 years,
close to it.
Oh, I'd be stunned.
I would too, but maybe there's some sense of pride that comes along with the fact that, hey, I'm helping to prop up my boy's business here, and I'm also getting a cut. Like, I don't understand it. I don't know why any professional athlete would ever get involved in anything like this, but it's happened.
My rant about Hanley is not criminal. As we stand right here, I'll firmly believe that nothing he did was criminal, and that he's not the subject of a criminal investigation, and all that's fine. So
he's just made bad choices in friends.
He's not a criminal. But he's a shady dude. That's bad news. And if I were a major league team, I would want nothing to do with. That's where I stand on that. Is it criminal? Probably not. What do you think of the whole Hanley
situation? Well, I mean, I think your basis is he had no reason to do it, right?
Well,
did Aaron Hernandez have any reason to do what he was doing?
I know.
So and I'm not saying Hanley's doing it either. But speaking very generally about any uber wealthy person who gets involved in crime like this, they don't have a reason to do it. Or at least that reason is not financial, but it may be about something else, about a feeling of power, about being involved in something beyond, you know, that they have total control of, whatever that, to be the big guy in this particular pond of whatever size it is.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. I'm just not going to, that he's a criminal. I've never told you Hanley's a criminal. I'm not telling you he's a criminal right now.
And I will say this.
Sketchy, shady, whatever the hell, like questionable. If I'm a team and you're running with that crowd. See you later. So I'm all for that, but criminal, I'm not going there yet.
And I'm with you because just the interactions I had with Hanley Ramirez over the years, which weren't many, but there were a couple, and other people who've had many, many. Like, when people heard about Aaron Hernandez and got over the shock of Patriots player and murder, they're like, yeah, but that guy, you know, there was stuff there. I don't think anyone ever thinks now or ever that Hanley Ramirez has a kind of criminal intent to him. He's a goofy, not a hardworking guy, whatever.
That's always the ones you least expect.
Criminal intent, I think, is a little far for him.
I mean, so patently stupid to make that kind of money and the risk. I mean,
maybe there's a rush that comes with that.
I mean, to put yourself at risk like that, to engage in that criminality, when you make that kind of guaranteed money, it is so patently stupid. It's not even funny. I mean, it's bad enough that some of these guys have bad investments, like in restaurants or things like that. Well, you just lose your money, and which is bad enough. Now you invest in something that could send you to jail for 10, 20, whatever years.
Life.
Oh my God! Like, I just can't make that leap that he would be that bad. Here's Matt in Quincy on John Tavares. Hi, Matt.
Guys, all right. So at first, when I heard about Tavares coming, I got a little angry, and I was like, I don't think we really need him. Then I kind of got swept up and saying, oh, well, he's such a good talent and all this. But the Bruins still haven't fixed their defense. They still have redundancy of Krug and Grizzlick, Miller and McQuaid. In the playoffs, they couldn't get the puck out of their blue crease at all. Tuukka had to flop around like Thomas sometimes out there. And it's not like Tavares is Ovechkin, and he's made it to the playoffs all these times and just couldn't get over the hump. The guy's made it to the playoffs like twice.
So, Matt,
I think they're just trying to put a Band-Aid on what they really need, which is defense.
Okay, so they had some issues on D in the playoffs. I think their bigger issue in the playoffs was secondary scoring. That first line was bananas.
And everyone else couldn't put the puck in the net.
And when the Bergeron line didn't score, they got nothing. So don't tell me that secondary scoring is not an issue on the team. It is. You could tell me that it's coming with these young guys. Fine. But don't tell me that they were that the forward group, you know, from 1 to 12 was what you were looking for in the playoffs. It wasn't. So there's a need there. But I'm with him. I'd say the need's bigger on D. It is. We talked about those free agents coming up next year. Erik Karlsson.
Drew Doughty.
And Tyler Myers, who I think's a step below those other two. But when you're talking about Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty, as I like to say, you're not talking about the best defenseman in the league. I think you're talking about some of the best players in the league. I love Doughty. Drew Doughty is my favorite player in the league. I like him even better than Karlsson, who's just filthy nasty. So would you rather spend 10 to 11 on a center or a D-man?
I want Tavares. Like, I'd rather have him. The scoring there was, as you mentioned, outside of that top line was a problem. They need to address that. This kid's a stud.
So I go D-man there, but as I said, McCarthy, this was his take. It was a good point. If you've got a chance to get a transcendent elite talent like Tavares, and it's there and you have a shot at it, take it. To take it and figure out the defensive thing later.
And to pass and wait for next year, like this team, look, they're ahead of schedule. The time to strike is now. If you can make a move like this and bring in a player like that, to put it off just because, and look, those are great players. I agree with you there. But to put it off a year, if that's what they decided to do, like, it doesn't sit well with me. Like, they have a chance to win a cup now.
We continue on an agenda-free Friday, the very latest with LeBron and NBA free agency, the very latest with Tavares. Word was supposed to start seeping out today. Haven't heard anything. As soon as we hear it, we'll hear it. Oh, by the way, there's still the Edelman suspension thing that's looming. Right. Like, that's supposed to drop. And sometimes Fridays are a good news drop if it's a negative thing. Or, I don't know, sometimes you just want to slip it in. So Friday, sometimes that kind of thing happens. So we still got our ears out for that. And your calls on everything else here on Agenda-Free Friday. Right back to you after the update.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your calls here on an agenda-free Friday. Stefan's in the car on John Tavares. Yes, Stefan.
So I've been an Islander fan my entire life. For 43 years old. I saw the cup players, all the greats. John Tavares, elite talent, but not an elite player. This guy, wonderful when he's on, disappeared in so many big games. Game 7 against the Capitals, nowhere to be seen. This last season, we're having a great year. Halfway through, the guy falls off the face of the earth, not to be seen. No way am I paying this guy that kind of money for that kind of term. Spend it somewhere else.
And so you think the Islanders would make a mistake to re-sign him?
I would. I think the Islanders are signing him because he's the face of their franchise. He's their number one pick. He's their messiah. There's so many better players. The game has evolved, and this guy hasn't evolved with it. He's very one-dimensional. Drop passes to nowhere. Slow skater. Is he an excellent player? Absolutely. Elite player? No.
Okay.
No way.
You watch him more than I do.
I've seen this guy. Yeah, I've seen this guy in tons of games. I don't understand what happened to the guy. I think he's gotten worse over the years.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Again, you watch him more than I do.
I mean, on paper, and I know I haven't been to the playoffs much, but it's 20. I think I saw this 22 points in 24 playoff games, something like that.
What's he been surrounded by there? Who's his? I mean, I should ask the caller. Who knows? Like, who's been the Islanders' best defenseman? Ty Anderson. Are you sitting right there? Who's been the Islanders' best defenseman since John Tavares got there?
I mean, he sat here yesterday and said everybody.
Have they had one?
It's probably Johnny Boychuk, to be honest.
Okay. So that's the best defenseman they've had in 8 years of John Tavares. Who's been their best goalie?
1 year of Thomas Greiss. Jaro Halak wasn't that bad, but he fell off the face of the earth, too.
They've sucked. So, I mean, I'm making excuses for the guy, but it's not like he's been surrounded by this great team. So I know people put those playoff... you know, he gets saddled with that lack of playoff success.
Jones.
What are you supposed to do when Johnny Boychuk is the best defenseman you've ever had and Greiss is the best goalie you've ever had in the 7 years you've been on the island? Is that his fault?
No.
So, like, I'd like to give him a break because I still know the talent is there. And he's 28. And guys like this don't come. The guys like this usually aren't available. You know, the Sidney Crosbys of the world, which is the kind of category he is. Those guys.
Well, that's the cop. Poor man, Sidney Crosby. I'm good. Like, bring him in. Those please. Guys. I'll take that guy.
They don't shake free. Anthony and Winthrop. What do you got, Anthony?
Hey, I was just wondering. So, if Danny Ainge pulls off
Kyrie for Kawhi trade, do you really think the Celtics can win the championship with Terry Rozier at point?
With Terry Rozier and Kawhi Leonard? Yes.
Yes,
I do.
You do?
Yes, well, as long as they have everything else. As long as they have Gordon Hayward, as long as they have Kawhi Leonard, as long as they have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, yes.
I feel like everyone's forgetting about Gordon Hayward. I feel like we don't need to make a trade.
Okay, well, I mean, I think there's...
I'm with the caller.
I mean, that's fair, too. You may not need to make a trade. I didn't say you needed to. You asked me if they swapped out Kyrie Irving for Kawhi Leonard and put him in with his current group, is that good enough to win a championship? And I think, yes.
Yeah, if you're getting the Kawhi Leonard of 3 or 4 years ago, yeah. I just think he's such an unknown right now because of what happened last year.
But I think Kawhi Leonard at his ceiling is more valuable than Kyrie Irving at his ceiling. I think that Terry Rozier and Kawhi Leonard is better than having just Kyrie Irving. I mean, just having Kyrie Irving doesn't suck. And you're right there, even with that other thing. If you're standing pat, you're going to give Golden State a good series. I think you're just a little bit better with Kawhi Leonard. That's all. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen either way. But if there's only one, you know, player for player, I go Kawhi Leonard. Cam and Taunton has a thought on the Patriots here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Cam.
How's it going, guys? I just want to say this. This notion that Bill Belichick has somehow been wronged in this whole situation is really starting to drive me crazy. Look, has Bill, you know, has he been a little bit screwed by Kraft? Is the fact that Kraft made him trade Garoppolo? Yes, of course. Nobody told Bill to take a bag of kicking tea to make the situation worse. And it's like, I hate this notion. Now Bill doesn't have to follow his own rules. Ignore the noise. Nope, I'm going to source a hit piece on the quarterback. No days off. Nope, the week of the Super Bowl, I'm going to go to a basketball game. Put the team before yourself. Nope, during the Super Bowl, I'm going to scratch my grudge with this cornerback.
Sing it, Cam.
So it's like, why does nobody mention all those things that Bill's done? Is Brady acting like a diva? Yes, he is. Bill made this personal first.
Okay, Murray.
I love it. Oh, more of that, Cam. He drew first blood. He knows what he did. Oh, but chain of command, and Bill's the one that built it. And, oh, how dare you? Tom's acting like a diva. Nobody's bigger than the team. Everything's out of whack now. Please. Cam's right. 100% there. Team Brady. Hashtag Team Brady.
Couple open lines if you want them at 617-779-0985. Frank in Saugus on Hanley Ramirez. Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
I just want to point out a few things, a few talking points on the whole Hanley Ramirez discussion. I heard Felga saying you don't think it's criminal because he's just a little bit shady. You don't want him somebody who's associating with those types of people. So my point is, if you have a mid to high level drug dealer in fentanyl, who this guy who got pulled over is, he's going to have street smarts. He's going to have been in the game of selling drugs and dealing with cops for a long time. Does anyone really think that a guy in that position is going to think the police are going to let him walk with 400 plus grams of fentanyl because he knows Hanley Ramirez?
Huh.
That's absurd.
So what do you think he was doing?
I think he got pulled over. I think he said, this isn't my stuff. I think the stuff was found. He goes, hey, man, it's not mine. He panicked and said, this belongs to Hanley Ramirez. And the cops at that point are going to go and say, yeah, right, buddy. Okay, whatever. Kid says, you know what? I'll call him right now to prove I'm telling you the truth. Calls him up, FaceTimes, he answers. The drugs are found.
So how come Hanley Ramirez is not being, you know, targeted in this probe? How come he's not under investigation?
How do you know he's not under investigation?
Well, that's the Globe who's, you know.
And we've been told it's over.
Because the Globe wrote an article that had an unnamed attorney, which I've never heard of in my life.
What a great point. That might be the best point I've ever, that of the day. What attorney doesn't want his name?
Right.
Well, Frank, that is a brilliant point.
You're square in the middle of a high-profile case, and you want to remain unnamed as an attorney? Please, red flag.
Frank, I hear you. I'm just trying to be fair.
That's a great point.
You know, look, I just don't want to claim criminality unless I know, right? So, like, I mean, this is why I am more than comfortable saying that he hangs out with more than the wrong people, and it reflects on him, it reflects on him, and he's right to be judged on it, and I judge him on it. He's doing something criminal involved in a drug problem? I'm not comfortable going there. You can, but I'm not until I hear something. But until we hear something concrete. But if you want to tell me that the Globe story definitely did not end it, I would agree with you on that. That was not the final gavel, if you will. The Globe story with the unnamed lawyer. What a great point. What lawyer doesn't name himself?
Especially if he, you know, gets this guy off of this case or whatever. Like, you would want that. You would want your name out there so you can bring in more business to other drug dealers that are out there, right? The unnamed lawyer. That's, I can't believe anyone, no one else thought of that.
What a great point. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
After that car stop, police recovered a significant amount of drugs, and during the car stop, the suspect claims that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hanley Ramirez and then FaceTimed him.
Earlier today, there were some reports about Hanley Ramirez being involved in some potential investigation on the federal level. What was your reaction to that, if you'd heard of it?
Surprise. I heard it, I read it, and, you know, I guess people are going to ask me about it, you know, and you know, the only thing that... the organization didn't know about this, and, you know, I didn't know about this. You know, our decision was made basically on baseball, you know, baseball-related, and, you know, I hope it's not true.
Okay, and then Alex Gore, after the Globe story, comes out a couple days later and says, I'm glad it's not true, so it's not true. So, okay, it's not true. He wasn't involved, apparently. Red Sox need a right-handed bat off the bench. They go out and get something named Steve Pierce. And forgive me for not being familiar with the player. But he's kicked around the AL East. Baseball people know him. I should know him. I don't really.
No, you probably shouldn't. I mean, journeyman, 12 years, 10 years, whatever. He's been in the league, six teams. Last with the Blue Jays. Why the hell would you know who Steve Pierce is?
So they go out and get a guy who's not horrible against lefties. But anyway, they need a right-handed bat off the bench. So if it's just, if Hanley's just, if he's been exonerated... You're already paying him. Why won't you bring him back?
Well, for baseball reasons, they don't want to have him get, they don't want to have to vest that option. Oh, no, that's about finance. We can't actually admit that.
Don't you think that's over?
It's the 0-21 slump. See, I know, maybe there's a hitch in his swing. Maybe it's mechanics. That's what's going on. We can't bring him back. It wasn't working out. So, no, it was baseball reasons. We don't want Hanley Ramirez.
Uh-huh. Don't you feel the vesting option is just about off the table now? Hasn't he missed enough time where he's not going to get those plate appearances?
Great point, yeah. So now you really could bring him back.
Well, that contract is eliminated once they released him and they cleared waivers. That contract no longer exists.
Okay.
So there's no vesting option for next year for Hanley.
And who knows? I don't even know if they could bring him back. There's probably rules that would prevent it, right? So, like, I'm just saying. If you had the need for a bat, for a right-handed bat, and you go and get Steve Pierce, but Hanley Ramirez was there on your team and you were banging him, you know... So just do the math.
Well, he's also told the world via his Instagram posts that he is done with baseball, essentially. He's just enjoying life and his family in the Dominican Republic and not ducking drug dealers that want him murdered.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he actually said that second part.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I added that. That was just my commentary.
Here's your phone's on an agenda-free Friday. Fred in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, I just want to weigh in with Murray. First of all, when you were talking about the teams that are great teams, super teams, right? The baseball, like you were comparing, the big thing is that basketball, these guys are calling each other up. Hey, you know, let's go out for a couple drinks, have a couple, you know, steaks, this, that, and the other thing, and they're all getting together. Baseball, they just happen to come about, I guess, because of management bringing them together. It's not because they're calling each other up.
That's right. Well, no, in baseball, it's still the GMs who are orchestrating it versus the players.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying to Murray about the super teams. And if I may bring up one other thing, like Murray had brought up, Popovich sitting out Leonard, like he's willing to sit him out for the year, not a problem. But me personally, fine, sit him out for the year.
Well, it's stupid.
If you sit him out for the year,
it's stupid.
Don't play for anybody.
Fred, when you can get two high draft picks and set your team up for the next run, you take the trade offers. You don't do it out of spite. That's stupid. That would be if Popovich turns down Ingram and Kuzma or turns down a good offer and doesn't do it, even if it means sending him to the West, what does it matter to you if a team in the West or the East wins? You're not winning for a long time. You're setting up the next run. So, like, that would be stupid of Popovich. If he's that spiteful, that's dumb. The first thing he said Yes, okay, so it's still the teams and the GMs that do it in baseball versus basketball. But at the end of the day, to the consumer, what's the diff?
Right. I mean, it's more calculated and it's more out in the open in the NBA. But it's happening in Major League Baseball.
But the end result's the same. What do I care? Yeah. Like, I it doesn't bother me that the players are in cahoots. I think it's helped contributed to a unbalanced league, and that's not good for the league. But if it's going to be unbalanced, what does it matter to me? Whether it's the GMs who are doing it or the players? I don't care. It doesn't bother me that it's the players doing it. I just care that it's unbalanced. Baseball's bad. Baseball's bad right now. But I'll say there's one also difference in baseball is that I think in the playoffs it evens out and anyone can win in the playoffs.
Definitely.
In basketball, forget about it. Like, the playoffs are useless.
Right.
Most of the time. In baseball, I think...
I think almost close to the last 10 years, Major League Baseball, the playoffs, it's almost been like the NFL. Who was hot at the right time is going to end up winning the championship.
Except, Houston was almost a wire-to-wire team last year. Chicago was a wire-to-wire team the year before, and those were tanking teams. So, it's not like the Vegas Knights are winning there in baseball, but I do think there's just... There's more uncertainty in a baseball series versus a basketball series. I would say that as well. Did I have one more point? No, I don't. I guess not. If I forgot it, it must not have been that good. Jonathan in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to weigh in on Tavares.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, so that last caller couldn't be more wrong. And Felger, you are so right. Tavares has had nobody around him. And look what he's done. He's put up at least 35 to 40 goals per season last 10 years. He's made the playoffs twice, and for anyone to hold that against him is ridiculous, and they don't watch hockey because they don't know who he's playing with. The guy is awesome. He is the team. He is an all-star. He is I couldn't talk more about this guy, and that guy doesn't know what he's talking about because he probably doesn't even watch hockey.
I mean, I'm telling you, I've never known them to have a good decor, and their goalies they've had, in the 7 years Tavares has been there, they might have had four or five goalies. Like, and it's... The Islanders, they've been a mess. Bankruptcies and...
They don't really even have a home.
Changing venues and going to Brooklyn. Next year, they're splitting time between Brooklyn and that hellacious dump in Uniondale. Like, they're splitting time. Think of that.
Yeah. I've been told that it actually looks pretty nice now, the new Nassau Coliseum, but I refuse to believe that because that place is a hellhole.
Oh, my God. Brutal. And I know what I was going to say before about offers that Popovich might be turning down. What if in just just off the top of my head, let me ask you this. What if he was being offered Klay Thompson from Golden State? Klay Thompson's got 1 year left to go in Golden State. I think he makes the same amount of money as Kawhi Leonard. And is Klay Thompson long for Golden State? With all the money that they've got out the door and the luxury tax implications and all of that, are they going to add Klay Thompson as a max contract to everything that they've got going on there?
Who's all up at that same time? Isn't Draymond Green as well?
Draymond Green's coming up, but how many guys can you pay?
No, I would think that they would be more apt to let Draymond walk and hang on to Klay Thompson.
Except I think they've dangled Klay Thompson out there before, and they haven't Draymond, at least not that I've heard.
Fair.
I'm just saying, if you're Greg Popovich, and they offer you Klay Thompson, I mean, the thing is
Do you have the assurance that he's going to sign a long-term deal
exactly.
there?
You're just trading a rental for a rental.
Yeah,
except that I don't know that. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's come out and said, I'm going to L.A. And I believe him, right? If L.A. is going to sign him, he at the very least has made clear he's not staying in San Antonio. Klay Thompson, at least you've got that opportunity. You bring him in and you've got that opportunity to convince him to stay there. You can get him done before he hits free agency or at the very least do what, we hear Boston teams do all the time. Bring him in and sell him on staying here and then convince him to stay here. That's not going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. So at the very worst... You end up in the same spot of losing a guy at the end of the year for nothing, but on the off chance you're able to keep him there, well, then you're better off than you were before.
So, by the way, just that thought, it didn't come out of nowhere. I'm just going to say that. I'm not that was floating somewhere. I'm not going to tell you what was floating, but that's a floater. Are people ignoring Golden State? And they're ignoring Klay Thompson for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard to the Golden State Warriors. That would be so shameless and so NBA that I'm almost rooting for it. Like, to the point where...
I think it's a drop-off. You know, that team knows what they did.
You think it's a drop-off?
He is such an unknown after what happened last year. Do you know what Kawhi Leonard you're getting?
Do you think he'd be an unknown in Golden State playing with that team going for a championship?
Compared to Klay Thompson, they know what they have there on both ends of the floor. He's so underrated defensively.
You'd rather have Klay Thompson than Kawhi Leonard?
If I'm the Golden State Warriors, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because people are still talking about this guy like he's the finals MVP, which is now, what, 4 years ago?
Because, again... So you're saying, I watch a lot of those games, and then, granted, they're all in the playoffs. I'm not watching regular season, but there's games I like Klay Thompson better than Steph Curry. I think he's got a more steady shot. Like, he takes fewer stupid shots. I don't know. I like Klay Thompson. But if Golden State plays LeBron again, they now have their LeBron stopper on top of it all with Kawhi Leonard. You don't think they have enough offense without Klay Thompson? And now you've got someone to stop LeBron James?
I mean,
stop LeBron James?
They have it anyway, and Draymond at times. Like, looking at the last couple of seasons, it doesn't matter. They don't need him. They have what they need.
Okay, so they don't need him. It's true. But if they get him, oh, that'd be so NBA. So shameless.
It's a good story.
Just keep adding on. Just keep adding on, guys. Just keep take everybody. They'll be the Harlem Globetrotters, and the rest of the league will be the Washington Generals, and I'll kick back and watch the whole thing. That would be awesome.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.